Alright, welcome to the News for Gamers Podcast Radio, January 14th, 2008. I'm still getting used to the 08 part.
I know, it's tough.
It is tough to get past the 07. 07 08. Was such a beautiful year, and now we're in 08. But once again, the Trio of Terror is back.
Trio of Terror.
And we are here for another week of News for Gamers Podcast Radio.
Nice. Radio!
And we're going to start off with... I was all into the poker game last night. I did my... Because I was the first one out.
Nice.
So I started to be the dealer, and during the dealer, I was doing all the sounds. I'm like, Ace of Clubs helps nobody! You know? I was getting into it, like, what's going on? All right, so...
That's awesome.
We got a pair of ladies over here.
Yeah, we got a couple ladies showing face up. Let's go. Take the roll. Here comes the flop.
One-eyed Jack for the misses.
All right, we're moving on. We're going to talk about some games. We're going to talk about what's a little...
Games.
What?
This is a podcast about games.
What are games?
Yeah, games.
Not poker. Unless you're talking about the World Series of Poker from Activision.
Wow. Activision.
Cha-ching. Get it at your local department store.
Right.
Pick up World Series of Poker 2008 at your local EB Games.
Pick it up right next to the milk aisle.
All right.
If it's in the milk aisle, somebody fucked up.
Clean up on aisle 7. All right. It's time for what's final in your consoles. Mr. Khan, I know you got some Xbox Live Arcade to talk about. I know you're excited. Your review's coming along nicely, I hope.
Yeah, my playing of Omega 5 has come along quite well.
Omega 5.
Yeah. And, it's a really good game.
All right. Why?
Because...
It
takes what made arcade gaming great back in the late 80s and basically turned it next gen. That's pretty much in a nutshell what it is.
Pretty much in your nuts.
Pretty much in the nuts.
Gimmick's gone, coming straight at your nuts.
Right at your nuts.
Okay,
but
that's
anyway, it's a side-scrolling shoot-'em-up in sort of the tradition of Forgotten Worlds meets R-Type. It's probably the most accurate description of this game.
Now, my question is anybody on the planet made it past Stage 2? Besides Mr. Professor Chaos, who somehow made it past Stage 2.
I made it to the boss of Stage 2. And from my play of the boss, it seemed like... It was easy to take out, but unfortunately, I was like on my last bit of health, and I got killed.
You know what my favorite part of that game is? When you first start it up, it's so English. It comes on, stage one, Grayshaw Fortress.
The Grayshaw Fortress.
Grayshaw Fortress. I heard that, I'm like, wow, that's not stereotypical. That's terrible.
It is terrible. And stereotypical.
But you know what?
Time.
It can. As many times I've played Stage 1, every time it comes up still, I laugh. I laugh every time he says
yeah.
that.
The Grayshaw Fortress.
Grayshaw Fortress.
It's awesome. The backgrounds are like extremely detailed. It's all 3D, 3D polygonal. It has a lot of the enemies have detailed textures.
I do have a complaint, though. Although it does have very pretty water. The characters are way too big.
Yeah,
they are.
Dude, that's my complaint. I wish that the characters were smaller or the perspective itself would
be... Was further out.
Yeah, it was further out. It balanced the gameplay tremendously.
It makes it overly complicated and difficult with your character being so big
yeah.
to get away from some of these enemies that take like a million bullets to kill.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane, but it's gorgeous. It's the best Xbox Live Arcade game I've played in a long time.
Oh, yeah.
A long time.
It's a nice way to start out 08.
Yeah, but we won't talk about the other game that came out at the same time.
Tron?
Tron, the game that is based on one of my favorite movies of all time.
It's terrible.
Unfortunately, as a game, it's...
pretty awful.
They didn't even try.
Next.
They didn't even try. They ported the damn thing over. They're like, let's leave in the shitty controls and the shitty visuals. Let's just port it, and people will buy it because it's called Tron.
Yeah, exactly. But I hate when that happens, you know. Good movie, bad game.
Well, I had read somewhere
story.
A long time ago that they were supposed to be remaking Tron. It was called The Discs of Tron.
And yeah.
It was supposed to be two games, but then they released this pile of garbage, and I'm like, what the hell?
I mean, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? I mean, I remember hearing about
that
story.
I know what's not going to happen. I'm not going to play Tron.
Yeah. I'm not going to buy it. I'm not going to download it. I mean, I downloaded the trial, but that's it. But the other Xbox Live Arcade game I played was Arcadian Warriors.
Now, that's a really good game.
It is.
It like kind of slipped under the radar, and nobody's been talking about it, but it's really good.
Basically, it's a $10 simplistic Diablo.
Very simplistic.
Yeah.
We can't stress it. It's like basically if they made a Lego Diablo,
yeah,
this would so be it.
Yeah.
Is a perfect idea.
It is.
It's like a Lego Diablo. That is the perfect description for the game, I must say.
But it's so good, though.
I downloaded the trial. I haven't played it yet.
It's Lego Diablo. That's
and
what it is.
I have to say... Better than Two Worlds.
Oh, God, Jesus.
You know what?
And,
it's 08.
Why don't you go home and you play your stupid little shmup with your giant ass characters, and I will play my game with crappy horse acting and. Horse acting?
Horse acting
and horse control. The horse acting is actually quite nice.
Oh, okay.
It's 08. Can we stop with the Two Worlds jokes? Okay, Kane and Lynch and Two Worlds are so last year, okay?
Yeah, you're right. But anyway, if you like Diablo, got an extra $10 to spare, feel like playing a little bit of Xbox Live Arcade, Arcadian Warriors is right up your alley.
Or apparently, if you like games like Diablo and Baldur's Gate and... so forth, and you've got $12.99 to spare, you can pick up
Marvel Ultimate Alliance for
this week only.
Sweet!
Yes,
yeah.
It's on sale.
Yeah, see, we'll bring you the sale this week.
We'll bring you the sales.
GameStop with the $12.99 Marvel Alliance.
Can't pass that up for a fantastical game.
It is very, very good. If you haven't bought it yet, $12.99 is a great price.
If you don't buy it at $12.99, somebody will kill a kitten.
You know, I think I'm going to buy it this week.
All right,
then.
Yeah.
That's good.
So
buy the extra characters, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So what else you been playing?
I've also, because of Omega 5, got me into the mood of classic shoot-em-up action.
Shmups.
Yeah, shmups. I picked up Contra 4 for the Nintendo DS.
Sweet.
And I love it.
It's Contra.
It is really, really awesome.
So you're all about those games that are impossible to get past stage 2 and only have 4 stages?
Dude, Contra 4, I made it to the boss of stage 4.
Nice. You are hardcore.
And get this, I can actually go all the way through stage 1 and almost all the way through stage 2 on one life.
Damn.
Nice.
See, that's hardcore.
And get this, way back in the mid-80s when Contra came out, you know, we all did the 30 lives trick, you know, up, up, down, down, left, right, BA start, mm-hmm. or select start if you want two-player. Of course, you know, I beat it that way, you know, and I was so addicted to Contra that I would just play it for fun. I would just go through it, like, repeatedly. And I got so good at the game that one time, and one time only, I actually beat the entire game on one life.
Wow.
But I was never able to do it again. I would always get killed like twice. Like two times, maybe three times. But one time, it was just like I was really lucky. And I went through the whole game on one life. And that was how hardcore of a Contra fan I was back in the day.
And that's why you can't tan now.
Yeah. That's why the Pretty sun much. Is death to you.
Yeah. The sun. What is that?
What? All right.
But other than that, I've also been playing Mario Galaxy. And, dude, it gets better. It keeps on getting better, dude. I'm Ice Mario, for crying out loud. Ice Mario is so awesome. Because when you get this, it's a ice flower, and you get it, and you turn into an Ice Mario, right? And you can run on water. And the water freezes instantly when you're running on it. And what it makes it even more awesome is when you're running on the water and you shake the remote, you start ice skating on the water. And if you jump, he jumps in the air and does a like an Olympic spin.
Pirouette.
Yeah.
Triple sal cow with a twist.
Pretty much. And then,
stupendous.
And then when he lands like gracefully, like a
figure. Brian Boitano?
Figure skater, yeah.
Like Brian Boitano.
Yeah, it's one of the most amazing things ever. And on top of that, there's like there's this one stage where there's like twin waterfalls, and you have to make it up the mountain. You actually have to do a wall jump up the two waterfalls as Ice Mario. And it's like amazing.
It's Mario.
And just recently, I also discovered Fire Mario. I finally got to throw fireballs. And man, when Mario is Fire Mario, oh man, he's like, I mean, enemies are just like being killed left and right, man.
It's like Goomba genocide.
Yes, it is. The stage design, I got to a point where I'm like, okay, this is about as good as it gets. And dude, like, I'm in the fourth observatory, and the stages are even becoming even more complex. And I'm just like, geez, how much better can this game get? And I'm only like a quarter through the stages in the game. So I'm just like, dude, it's like, I'm not worthy, you know. It's awesome. If you got a Wii, get Mario Galaxy. And if you don't have a Wii, get a Wii and get Mario Galaxy.
Indeed.
Yeah. And I also purchased Call of Duty 4 because Myers had a sale on it, and I hadn't gotten around to playing it yet. I put it in, and I technically played it for probably about 5 minutes.
Yeah, dude. I noticed you didn't even have the first achievement, which is like immediately into the game.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I literally probably played it for 5 minutes.
That's good.
But
it's so good.
As soon as I finish watching all of Lost Season 3, because I have to get caught up before Season 4 starts, as soon as I do that, I'm going to go back to Call of Duty 4. So, good times, good times. That's pretty much it.
Good time, lollipop.
Yeah. All
right. So we're going to move on to you.
All right. Well, I played a little bit of Omega 5 as well. Just the trial version, though. It's not, it's great, but it's not really my cup of tea, so I don't think I'm going to buy the full version of it. But the control's pretty cool. The graphics are good.
Graphics are excellent for an Xbox Live Arcade. When you see that water in the second level,
yeah,
it just blew my mind how good it looked.
And then the giant creature worm in the background.
Oh, that thing's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And then I played, what other trial game did I play? Oh, you know, I've got my thing set up to automatically download the trials.
Oh, the new ones?
Or whatever, yeah. And so I played the trial of a couple games, actually, just when I was sitting around killing time. I played the trial of Screwjumper.
It's not bad.
It's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
I couldn't see myself playing it for more than 5 or 10 minutes. But
no,
it's a decent little time waster.
At least it's different.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I think I had to give it when I played it. I'm like, at least it's something new. It's not just another port or rehash or some other crap.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then I played, seems like there was another Xbox Live Arcade trial game that I played.
Trial.
It's the trial of the century.
Oh, well, I'm sure it wasn't that great, apparently.
It didn't stick with you.
Apparently.
Well, I did play the trial of Tron, which was completely terrible, but ass. We already discussed that.
Yeah.
So, let's see. What else? What else? What else? I played a lot of Mass Effect. That's pretty much what my gaming has been lately, is Mass Effect, because it's at the point now where it calls to me. Like, I find myself thinking about Mass Effect when I'm at work or at my real job.
It's your real job?
Yeah, and or when I'm just sitting around, like, if I can't play it, I find myself thinking about it occasionally.
So when it calls to you, what does it sound like?
It says, "Hey, motherfucker, come play some motherfucking Mass Effect." That's exactly what it sounds like.
Awesome.
That sounds kind of like Chris Rock.
Oh, okay.
You mean Chris Tucker?
Yeah.
No, Chris Rock, when he gets excited.
Oh, okay.
Oh, when he gets excited. Oh, that's fun.
But, so that, I mean, that's stolen most of my time. And I'm trying to take my time through it and do a lot of the side quests. I think I'm about 15 hours in now, 16 hours in, maybe. And if it tells you anything about the way I'm playing this game, I'm 16 hours in, and I've only completed one of the actual story planets.
Yeah, you're doing a lot of side shit.
Yeah, I'm concentrating right now on doing as much side stuff as I can before continuing into the story.
Did you go to Earth's moon?
I did. Yes, I did. And, you know, the mission's a little generic.
Yeah.
And it's a little tough at first, but it was...
It's a pretty tough, yet generic side mission.
Yeah. But the graphics on it are really cool.
Oh, yeah.
It's neat to be able to look up and see the Earth.
Yeah,
there,
it's awesome. Yeah.
But there's some really good side missions.
There's a lot of generic ones, but there's some really good
really,
ones.
Really, really good ones. And I've done one of the character side missions so far, where you have a special... Like, and I did it by accident, completely by accident. I showed up. I won't say anything too much detail because I don't want to ruin it for anybody. But I showed up on one planet and went into a base just to clear it out because, you know, it's a planet.
Yeah.
And I was on it, so that's what I do. And so I go in there, and one of the people that I brought down with me happened to need something that was there. So it worked out for the best. But that kind of stuff is what I always loved about BioWare's RPGs, is that they find little ways to draw you into the characters and the interaction between the characters on your own team more than a lot of other RPGs do. So, yeah, so Mass Effect's been stealing most of my time, especially as far as 360 gaming goes. That and Guitar Hero. I played a lot of Guitar Hero yesterday. Let's see.
Yeah, I saw you rocking out to some Welcome to the Jungle.
I was the other day, yes. Rocking out to some Welcome to the Jungle. I'm getting ready to beat it for my first time through. I haven't quite yet just because I haven't had time. But I played through. I'm sort of disappointed in myself because it's been... I used to play the first Guitar Hero a lot. Like, a lot, a lot. Like enough to 5-star everything up to about 3/4 of the way through expert a lot. But it had been a long time since I played Guitar Hero when I got 3. So I started out on medium, and it's too easy.
Well, the problem with Guitar Hero 3 that you will come to realize quickly is once you go from medium to hard,
it's completely different
ballgame.
It's a
whole other ballgame.
That's what I imagine. I've got 5-star on everything through hard, except for like the last 3 songs. So
expert on harmonixes games is hard in Guitar Hero 3.
Right.
I mean, that's how hard it is. I'm playing through Rock Band on expert and having no problem beating any song. I'll struggle with a couple solos here and there.
Right.
But I'm playing expert on Guitar Hero because I can't beat Lou on hard on freaking Guitar Hero because boss battles are stupid. Take them out and get rid of them. But
I agree.
I'm playing through Expert on Guitar Hero 3, and I cannot get past just like Tenacious D.
You know what
I finally beat the other day?
I played the Lou battle on medium. I just played it once because I really didn't have much time. And I was winning, but the problem I've noticed with his battle is that you don't really get a lot of power ups.
No, not for a
while. So it's a little tough. But But overall, it's, I mean, it's, in my opinion, leaps and bounds ahead of 2, because the track list on 2 was terrible.
Yeah, the track list on 3 is what makes it. The boss battles are what hurts it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because the boss battles aren't even about skill, they're about luck. Because right. The power-ups are going to determine the outcome of the game, and you don't get to right. pick your power-ups.
Right.
So it sucks, and he gets a power-up first on hard.
Right.
He gets the first power-up. So when your power-up comes along, he gets to nail you with one. So you're going to maybe miss the first one.
Right.
And it sucks. The most I could do, and the way I've heard the strategy, is you get 3 power-ups. You bank them, and then you nail him one right after the other while he's playing, and that's the only way to beat him.
Gotcha.
Because if you look at his note chart on hard, that's ridiculous.
It's kind of ridiculous on medium. It's not. I mean, it's not impossible, obviously, on medium, but it's kind of...
Yeah, it's...
It's pretty tough. It's like you say, it's like I would expect hard to be in Guitar Hero 2.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Other than that, I played tiny bit of Uncharted, which I want to get back into more once Mass Effect releases its icy grip on my soul. especially now that I actually saw National Treasure, the new National Treasure last night, and it really makes me want to play Uncharted more, because it's the same kind of, you know, treasure hunting.
Well, I'm going to make you want to play Uncharted even more when I get to mine, but go ahead.
But I'm a sucker for that kind of treasure hunting adventure movie or game. So I'm.
I bet you're looking forward to Indiana
I
Jones,
am looking
the
to
new
Indiana
one.
Jones.
Ooh,
really?
Yeah,
he's gonna be in a wheelchair going down to the Ark.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to the new Indiana Jones game as well when that releases.
Yeah, and Lego Indiana
and Lego
Jones.
Indiana Jones.
You know, in Lego Star Wars The Complete Saga, if you watch the trailer for Indiana Jones, you unlock Indiana Jones as a playable character in Lego Star Wars.
Really?
Little tip there.
The Complete
from the
Trilogy one?
Sweet.
Yep. You know, I haven't picked that up yet. I keep meaning to just because I like the other
it's
two
It's the whole
much.
Collection. It's like everything right. in one box, and it's awesome. I mean, it's...
Is
it's,
it 60?
It's 50.
50? That's
I mean, it's
bad.
It's all 6 games, you know, all 6 movies,
yeah.
just a bunch of extra stuff, and it's just really fun. Plus, it has online co-op, so
right.
it's really good. Really worth it.
I keep meaning to pick that up. But also, there's several games that I keep meaning to pick up, but I've got some trade-in stuff, so maybe I'll go to,
see, I need to get
my neighborhood video gaming
yeah,
store.
Yeah, because outside of Devil May Cry and Burnout, there's not a whole lot coming out for a while.
Right.
So, got some time to catch up, trade in, catch up on
yeah.
some old stuff.
Right.
It's good times. People complain about this time, but I enjoy it.
Right, I agree. So, let's see, what else? I played some more Castlevania on the PSP.
Yeah.
Which is really, really good. Really, really good. Pretty much it for this week, to be honest.
That's still a lot for a week.
Most of it came in Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, that's where the
you know, during the week, my real job, people can't see me doing air quotes, but my real job steals most of my time, so. But,
yeah, those darn jobs.
Darn jobs.
Yeah.
Darn having to make money to live.
Gosh.
Yeah.
but that's really about it. I think I haven't played much of anything else. The one thing I did kind of want to mention, and I forgot to mention it last week. It actually should have been in my fondling your console last week. Is I played a cool little flash game on Newgrounds actually, and I'm trying to remember the name of it now.
What kind of game is it?
Well, it's a flash game, and you're behind a barricade, and there's zombies approaching the barricade, and you have to shoot all the zombies before they reach the barricade. And after you... it's something... Something about... I don't know. I'll have to... I'll bring it back next week. I'll find out what the name of it is. But it... you're behind a barricade, and you're shooting zombies or whatever, and then after daylight comes, you have 12 hours worth of daylight, and you can spend it in 3 different ways. You can spend it, you can spend a certain number of hours searching for survivors.
Mm-hmm.
And if you find survivors, they'll join you behind the barricade and help you shoot the zombies. You can find it searching for new, or use it searching for new weapons, or you can use it repairing your barricade. And you have 12 hours to allocate between those 3. And then it keeps progressing. You have to survive 20 nights. Without them getting through the barricade. It's really cool. It's on Newgrounds. It should be right on the front page of the games section. At least it was when I played it. But it's something about daylight.
Thing is,
I can't remember.
That sounds really intriguing because it sounds like it almost redefines the term survival horror.
It does.
Because in most survival horror games, it's almost like an adventure game, like a Resident Evil. You know, you're like going through the stages and like adventuring into like the Umbrella Corporation and stuff like that.
Right.
And this game where it's like you're just cooped up and you're on the basically the defensive.
Right. You're behind the barricade the whole time. You can move up and down. The Last Stand, that's the name of it. The Last Stand. So
The Last
jump on,
Stand.
Jump on Newgrounds and check it out. It's fun. I'll give props to a good Flash developer. That's a good game.
The Very Last good. Stand.
Yep, definitely worth checking out.
Everybody download that.
Well, you don't download it.
Yeah, you just go play it in the browser. Online. On Newgrounds.
Oh. Yeah, it's a Flash game.
Yep. Oh, okay.
You just play it in the browser.
Yep. Sweet.
Yeah, that was us scrambling to search
to
it up
find
on the
it,
web.
Yeah. A scrambling on air to
some on air
find
scrambling.
The name of it because my memory is completely terrible. I blame Vietnam.
Alrighty. So we're going to move on.
Move on.
Is that all you're fondling?
Yeah.
Alright, well, I devoted most of my time this week to one game, but I'll talk about that last because I got a few things to talk about. But I reviewed MX vs. ATV this week, and I mean, I liked it. I did. I mean, if you play the last one, there's not a whole lot different.
It's the same thing.
It's really the same thing. It's nice that they chunked so much more crap into it this year. There's a fully structured career mode, the online mode there. There's actually something to do in the free ride now besides just run around and wreck your rider. There's like these little tokens you can collect and stuff. I mean, it's a good game. It's a solid, just, you know, if you're a fan of the series, you'll enjoy it. If you're not, it's not going to change your mind kind of deal. Also played, I went back and old-schooled it. Well, not really old-schooled it. I'm just talking about, like, within the last year old-schooling
gotcha.
It. I was playing as a Project Gotham.
Nice.
I picked that back up. I forgot how much I like that game. It's such pretty rain.
So, between Project Gotham and Forza 2, which
here we go
like?
Again with this.
They're two completely different games.
Yeah.
Forza is straight simulation. You're going to be racing the same track over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, and you're going to build up your cars and all that stuff. Project Gotham is, I'm going to throw you in a Ferrari, and you're going to race around a wet track and a snowy track and race through some cones. Completely different experiences.
I still need to pick up both those games.
Both of those games are worth picking up, depending on you like that genre.
Yeah.
Arcade racing and, you know, simulation. I'm playing a lot of All-Pro football.
All-Pro?
I started a new season.
You and your All-Pro football.
I can't help it. I love the way it plays. I hate Madden so much. What angers me...
I hate Madden. I hate it.
I don't understand why they don't take Madden and build it on the college football engine. The college football engine is so much better. I would play college football if I liked college football. The only reason I play All-Pro is because, hey, I can create my own team. It's kind of cool.
Right.
You got all the old NFL stars. Like, I can have, you know, old quarterbacks on my team. Like, I have Bernie Kosar as my quarterback right
nice.
Now.
Nice.
You know, I'm just...
Bernie
Kosar with his big fro. His big crazy fro. I mean, it's just... I love All-Pro football. I just love the way it plays. And I'm trying to get some more achievements in it, but...
Yeah, fros are awesome, man.
Yeah, that's the quote for the podcast right there.
Fros are awesome.
I played Omega 5, obviously. We talked about that. I played Tron. Obviously, we're not going to talk about that ever
again.
Yeah.
We will never mention Tron again.
Never.
Never.
I downloaded the NFL Tour demo, but I didn't play it because I heard it was absolutely terrible. I mean, not even just bad. I heard it was absolutely terrible.
It's like totally
Wait,
crap.
Which demo? Did you
NFL
say?
Tour.
NFL Tour.
The
gotcha.
New NFL Street by EA.
Yeah, I did not download that.
I downloaded it on PSN and Xbox 360 wow. because I was online just back and forthing.
Right.
And I didn't play it on either one.
Nice.
That's how bad that I did not want to play this game.
Yeah.
And the last thing I'm going to talk about is most of my time has been spent playing Uncharted. I sat down one night and I said, you know what? I'm going to finish this game. I'm going to finish it. And finish it I did. I sat there for 5 straight hours and finished out what I had left.
And so, what'd you think?
My first thing that I said when I beat the game, I looked at myself and I go, I want to play another game just like that. I want to play another game that's that good. But the thing is, I didn't want to play that game again. And it's not that it wasn't good, but I was just sitting there, and that's my feeling inside. I'm like, I want to play another game that's this good, and I want to have that experience over again, because that's how good it was. The complaints that I have about the ending, it has a Lord of the Rings ending. I'm not spoiling any details, but it has a Lord of the Rings ending, where you think it's the climax, and then it's not. And then you think it's the climax, and then it's not. There were three specific times where I was ready for the credits to roll after I did what I did. And I'm like, and it's funny. It's funny because in the game, I think they knew this.
Right.
Because Drake, towards the end of the game, starts making these comments like, are you freaking kidding me? There's more? He was making comments like that. I'm like, dude, I know how you feel.
That's awesome. Sympathizing with your game character.
I was sympathizing with my game character. Every time he would say that, because he said it like three times, he's like, are you kidding me? Are you serious? But the ending to the game, and I have to say that, this is, it takes away from having to do a final boss. The way they handle it. I'm not giving any details away. I'm describing what's going on. I know you're like trying to like, don't talk about it. But the way they handled the final confrontation is really cool. Although, the first time I played the final area, I kept trying to figure out how to do it. And the most logical reasoning, the most logical thing that you think you would do, I tried that first and it didn't work. And I got frustrated, so I kept trying different things to try to beat it. And I finally got mad. And I went and looked online. I'm like, okay, how do you do this? I give up. It was my first logical choice. I just didn't do it right. And I'm like, because I got mad. It was so frustrating towards the end of the game. But it does have a turn. It does have a little... You flip around that you're kind of like, what?
A twist.
Yeah, it's got a twist. But it's... I try to think of a game that you would compare the twist to of like the same... It's not like, oh my god.
Right.
It's not like, oh gee, wow. But it's kind of weird. And it kind of builds up to it. And you're thinking the whole time like, what is this? What's going to happen?
Yeah.
But I'd say to say by the end of the game, I was becoming a master of the shooting. And, you know, I didn't realize till later in the game that you could run and shoot at the same time.
Really?
I mean, I always figured that you could, but it was never an issue because you always had cover to lean up against. But something happens towards the end of the game where you're going to be running a lot and not having time to take cover, and you get to shoot. And it also has an old nod back to Crash, the running towards the screen away from something.
Yeah.
It has that, which I thought was pretty cool. And it was really good. I mean, the ending... you know, it kind of sets up for a sequel. Not really, but it kind of does. But I have to say that, it's like as soon as I finished that game, I wanted to play the sequel. I wanted to experience the entire game over again.
So in other words, sequel please!
Yes, I'm definitely anticipating a sequel for this game, but and I spoiled nothing there.
I'm glad.
I spoiled nothing.
That was smooth.
Trying to keep the podcast as spoiler-free as we possibly can.
We still haven't even talked about... Well, I guess we did talk about the Assassin's Creed spoiler, didn't we? I think we
did
mentioned
we?
That.
I think we may have...
Because it's in the first 10 minutes.
Right. Yeah, if you don't know the Assassin's Creed spoiler yet...
And that's kind of like the Mass Effect ending. You're kind of like, you know, hey, it's not unexpected. We talked about that when I talked about the ending. I said it's not like it's...
Right.
Oh my god, but it drives me crazy. Like, I see so many people online talking about it, and they're like, oh, could you believe what happened at the end of Mass Effect? I'm like, did I get the right ending? Did I get the wrong game? Because, I mean, while it was cool, it wasn't like, oh my god, I didn't see that coming. So.
Cool.
It's like the people that went into episode 3, like, is that really how it ends? No shit.
Oh my god, Anakin got burnt.
And he's Darth Vader!
You
didn't know he was Darth Vader? Holy shit!
Well, that would have been a good seg into
the Star Wars Soul Calibur.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we can't seg in the news because we have our thing.
All right. Damn blasted thing.
See, we are totally spoiler-free here. Although, I'm going to tell you this right now. BioShock's getting a little old, okay? People need to beat it. Because I'm tired of not talking about it because I still don't know anybody that's beat it.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of sad people. One of the best games of the year, and I can't talk about spoiler warnings about that game.
Motherfucker, I got a real life.
So do I!
I can't play everything.
Yeah, but you could be like, I'm never going to play it. I'm surprised you haven't heard it yet. I am amazed that nobody has... Because you got to think at this point...
I may have accidentally heard it, but I don't know for sure. It can't be independently confirmed or denied.
That's what I'm saying is like... I'm just surprised at this point you haven't heard it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, man. I've been wanting to return back to that game, but I don't know. That twist in the middle of the game, it kind of disturbed me in a way. And also the environments, even though there are beautiful environments, you know, the underwater world and everything, the game actually makes me depressed. It does.
That's kind of what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about BioShock here in a little bit in the news.
The thing is, it makes me depressed almost to the point of not really wanting to play it.
See, the part that you have seen is probably the most substantial thing about the game when you learn everything that's going on. But there's another part to it that you're kind of like, oh. And it blends. And see, the problem is you can barely read magazines anymore because they talk about how innovative and how driven the way that they told the BioShock story. And they took storytelling in games to a new level that movies can't do.
Yeah, that's
movies
true.
Movies can't do the kind of storytelling that BioShock did. And when they divulge that secret part of the game to you, you're kind of like, that's smooth. That's slick.
You know what's crazy is you're absolutely right. I mean, video games, especially in this past year, they've upped the ante of cinematic expression.
Yeah.
To the point where it could theoretically be beyond cinema or beyond film. So in the future, are we actually going to have movies that are going to try to mimic modern games?
It's possible.
But the problem with movies trying to mimic games is that movies don't have the length to mimic games in most cases.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the best cinematic parts of video games are in the details, and usually the details like that take a while to drag out.
Yeah, usually with a two-hour movie, the details get lost.
Right. For instance, I've always wanted to see a movie made out of the original Legacy of Kain, Blood Omen, for the PC and the PlayStation 1.
Yeah, that would be an interesting film.
But it would be difficult to get all of that into a movie.
Yeah.
So, and you, Bowl, if you're listening, don't make the movie. Just don't fucking make it.
Hey, his new movie, In the Name of the King, Dungeon Siege?
Has a 5% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Has a 5%? Yeah. Did you see the trailer?
I did see the trailer.
Dude, doesn't it not look like Lord of the Rings?
Dude, it is Lord of the Rings. They should call it Lord of the Dungeon Siege, Return of the King. In the Name of the King.
Dude, the cinematography, the lighting, like how everything is lit, how everything looks,
right,
is Lord of the Rings, like, to a T.
Right.
But you have Ray Liotta in a leather jacket casting magic spells, okay?
Yeah, it's like they got
I'm gonna have you sleeping with the fishes, Steve.
I just don't understand. Yeah. I don't understand how he gets actors to sign on to his movies. Like, I don't understand the thought process that goes into somebody like Jason Statham into signing on to a movie like that.
It's beyond.
Because I like Jason Statham.
Yeah, he's same
one of
here.
My favorite actors.
Yeah, he's cool.
But he's an action movie star.
Right.
He's built for these kind of movies.
Well, no.
I can't see him being the crazy Lord of the Rings warrior. I can't see him playing Aragorn. I'm sorry.
No.
To tell you the truth, even though it's a terrible movie, I'm actually kind of curious.
The only movie he's ever made that I'm curious to see is Postal, just because of all the press it got and how it's just supposed to be ridiculous.
Yeah, it's supposed to be, like, super
And
offensive.
I will never pay to see this movie, just to clarify. I will never pay to see it if it's on TV or something. I am interested to see what he did with the movie, because I'm interested to see what levels he took it to. But other than that, I don't care.
Right.
His movies are terrible. I've sat through a couple of them, and they're bloody terrible.
Yeah. I think I've actually managed to avoid every single movie he's ever made.
Well, his movies are terrible.
Same here. I've only seen, like, the trailers for the movies that
he's
made.
I tried to sit through Blood Rain. I turned it off. It was that bad.
I avoided Blood Rain like the plague. A diseased rat,
Blood
Rain.
And the sequel is awesome for the fact that it takes place in the Old West with Billy the Kid, and he's a vampire. That's awesome. That's 10 megatons of awesome bad that is.
Yeah.
Indeed.
All right, but we're going to go. We're done with the fondling. It's time for the news. So, do you have one?
I do.
Okay, good. Let's roll.
And now, News for Gamers, Internet Star Radio Program proudly presents News Quickies. Brought to you by Josiah's All Natural Donkey Hair Shampoo. When you want your ass to smell great, use Josiah's. Only available in original scent, but let's face it, anything smells better than your ass. And now with the news, your host, Zero Tolerance.
Are you a surfer, dude? We'll get to that later.
Whoa, dude.
Alright, moving on to the news. We have a pretty good amount of news this week, and a lot of big stuff to talk about.
It is. Hey, it's a pretty sizable list.
That was a good announcement, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Still waiting on people to vote.
Yeah, I know. Nobody. I think everybody's just lost faith in it.
But it's pinned. It's a hot topic.
I know it's pinned.
Bastards. Alright. Burnout 3. You were wondering about Xbox Live Originals, the Xbox Originals, what we're going to see. Well, Burnout 3 is going to be the next one. If you're excited about that, okay. I don't know if it's something to do with the fact that Burnout Paradise is coming out soon. It'll be a cross-market promotion. But when your second game, when your second tier of games comes out and it's Burnout 3, you kind of go, Okay. Moving on to a big news story that broke the internets this week.
In case you didn't know,
everybody was expecting good old Namco to put in some secret characters. There's lots of rumors going around. Who's it going to be? What system is going to be? It's Darth Vader for the PlayStation 3. And it's Yoda for the Xbox 360. Now, is this a subtle hint of something here? Good versus evil? Is that what this is supposed to be about?
I saw that, but it's all about black versus green.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, it is. The colors.
It's all about black.
Yeah, Yoda's green.
Xbox is green.
And then you got Darth Vader's black, just like the PS3.
There you go. I guess that's... Now, the question is, are they going to do these guys as downloadable content?
Later,
cross-system. Kind of like they did with Spider-Man 3. PlayStation 3 had the new Goblin as a hidden character, and then you could download him
right.
on Xbox Live. That
would not shock me if Yoda showed up on PSN and Darth Vader showed up on Xbox Live.
Now, the question...
I heard that the secret character in they're going to come out with a Wii version. It's going to be a Jawa. It's half the system, half a character. You know, it works.
Oh, jeez.
With R2-D2. Sorry,
that was my bad joke for
that
the podcast.
That was a bad joke.
R2-D2 with Waggle. No, just kidding.
He just shocks people.
C-3PO is the character. He just runs away the whole time.
Thing is, man, you have to have...
There's a lot of jokes there. You could put Luke Skywalker in the Wii version just like his fans are always whining.
Yeah.
There you go. Go ahead with your thought.
Oh, man. I was going to say, because Darth Vader's going to be on the PS3 version, Yoda's on the Xbox version, you got to have a fight between Vader and Yoda. At some point.
You would think. One would think.
Yeah. One would think that. But the question outside of that is, does this open, if they make these guys downloadable content, does this open the possibility for more downloadable characters?
Yes.
Well, I heard from another website, podcast, excuse me, that they have at the recent Consumer Electronics Show where they had playable Soul Calibur 4, that there's actually, they said 34 character slots.
Jesus.
Wow.
There's not even 34 Soul Calibur characters.
No.
So they're thinking that it's going to basically have everybody from all the Soul Calibur games, plus perhaps even more.
It wouldn't shock me.
Secret characters.
If they were gonna throw some secret characters in there, it'd be like Kratos would be a good character.
Yeah.
I see some people saying Noriko from Heavenly Sword
would be a great character.
Oh yeah.
You could even throw Master Chief in there if you wanted to with the energy sword.
Yeah, I mean, but they put him in DOA. Well, they kind of put him.
Yeah.
Ryu Hayabusa from Ninja Gaiden
would be a good one.
That'd be a good one. I mean, but the Star Wars character I try to figure out where that makes sense. You know, Namco, LucasArts. I don't understand the connection.
I don't either.
Some people are crying foul, like, oh my god, I can't believe they're going to put... It's a novelty.
Right, yeah, I mean...
It's not supposed to be serious.
It's not like the Soul Calibur series has this huge, overarching, amazing story anyway. It's just like every other fighting game.
It's a convoluted story that only people take it seriously really read too much into it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like arguing about putting canon specific characters in Mortal Kombat.
It's like conversations that, oh god, I can't believe I'm going to admit this, back in high school, where we would argue over who would win. the freaking Starship Enterprise or a Star Destroyer.
Wow.
Who are you talking about? People still have those fights. You saw that episode of Lost, didn't you? Who would win in a foot race around the world? Would it be the Flash or Superman? And they argue about it for like 10 minutes.
I didn't see
that.
Oh,
you haven't seen that episode
yet?
Well, that's not really a spoiler.
Yeah. Oh, my God!
That's going to be the eternal debate who's going to win in a fight. It's retarded.
Yeah.
Just play the game and have fun. I'm personally looking forward to running around with some lightsabers and, you know, in a fighting game, in a weapons fighting game. That's cool to me. And I hope the sounds.
Awesome.
Oh, the sounds. It's going to be awesome. But I really hope that we see some more hidden characters pop up.
Yeah.
I'd like to see some more. And I would love the opportunity to downloadable content with more characters. That's one thing DOA missed out on sorely, was like downloadable outfits and characters and stuff. And I think fighting games would bode well to use that feature.
I agree.
It's what it's there for, and people will pay for that.
Yes, they will. Just like, I mean, look at how well the special characters did for Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's awesome. They should have done more.
Yeah, they should have.
They should keep adding more. I mean, that's just awesome to have all that many characters.
Yeah, pretty much just build up the entire Marvel universe through the game.
Exactly. That's what you should do. You should make a fighting game and just keep adding characters to it. People love characters. People love levels.
Yeah.
Those are the two big things people want in downloadable content. That's why, like, people are crying foul about the Stranglehold downloadable content. That's the most substantial downloadable content I've ever seen. 10 new multiplayer maps and, like, 6 new character models.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Granted, it's 1,200 points, but still.
Right.
For $15 for 10 new maps?
Yeah.
Come on. Off topic. Whatever.
Off topic.
Off topic.
Next up, Consumer Electronics Show. Could we call this the end of HD DVD?
Oh. I mean, it's pretty much.
Warner Brothers has left the old HD DVD camp. Universal's on the way out. HBO's on the way out.
I mean, it's pretty much done. People are saying, well, they could still come back. No, they can't.
Really matter? It's basically like having two CDs that do the exact same thing with different names on them.
That's the thing that kills me, is I don't understand why people got so... Well, I do understand, because console fanboys will latch on to anything. I don't understand why people got so caught up in the difference between Blu-ray and HD DVD when there's really not that much difference.
No, there's not. It's the same exact thing. The only difference is that, you know, they're going back and forth of which one holds more. Well, here's the secret behind media, digital media. Over time, they all grow in size.
Right.
CDs started off at, like, what, 60 minutes?
Right.
Now they're up to, like, 80?
Right.
Yeah.
It just keeps increasing size depending on how you burn it.
Right.
It's not a big
deal.
It's
all about compression. But, I personally, you know, I didn't care which one won. I'm just glad. Well, I shouldn't say won. I didn't care which one stuck around. I'm just glad that it's basically coming to an end.
Yes, I'll be happy with that. And now we can go on, and all three consoles next life cycle can have a Blu-ray player in them. Fine dandy by me. Don't care.
Yep.
Don't really care what's in it.
Right. Don't really care what format it is, as long as it...
As long as
plays
we got
games
one.
Or plays movies.
Yeah. As long as we got one format, because I don't want to be going back and forth.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous to be going. It costs too much money to go back and forth.
And I'm just glad that after the mini disc and the UMD, that Sony has finally pioneered
Betamax, yeah.
That Sony has pioneered a format that actually works.
We finally get one. Hooray! All right. But enough about the Blu-ray, HD, DVD. Hopefully this will kill these stupid stories that I have to keep sifting through to get real game news.
Right, exactly.
All right, next up. We all knew it was coming. We called it about 2 years ago. But the PlayStation 3 is going to offer achievements as well as other incentives with Holmes release.
Yeah, my guess is it's probably going to be outfits and furniture and so forth. Like, if you unlock a certain achievement in, let's just say, Uncharted 2, you can put a little... tiki statue in your home or something
cool.
like that is what my guess is. Which, it's cool.
It's awesome, man.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing that Sony needs to realize.
Awesome.
Sony needs to realize this. With Uncharted, they added achievements, which I did like.
Yeah, they were
I
very
did
good.
Like this. But you have to make these things universal.
Right.
Every game has to support it, and everybody has to be able to see your achievements.
Right.
That's what makes Xbox Live's achievements so damn addictive. And we'll talk a lot more about achievements later, but that's what Sony needs to do if they want this to take off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like if only you know the achievements that you got. I mean, it kind of defeats the purpose almost.
Yeah, because then I have to tell you, I'm like, hey, I got 220 out of 1,000 points in Uncharted.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool. What'd you get? I'm not naming them off.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. We'll talk more about achievements later, but messed up. Valve Software purchases Turtle Rock Studios. And some people are probably going, who the fuck is Turtle Rock Studios?
Yeah, who is Turtle Rock?
The company making Left 4 Dead.
Right.
Oh, snap.
Snap shizzle. They snatched them up, so in continued of talks of buying companies pretty soon, it's just going to be EA buys everybody, we're done.
Hey, that explains why the orange box has the trailer for Left 4 Dead.
Well, Valve was already publishing the game.
Yeah. Right.
They Valve was going to
put
the studio.
It, yeah, they were going to put it out on Steam and everything for Turtle Rock, but now they've pretty much engulfed Turtle Rock.
I'm looking forward for Left 4 Dead. That looks like a good game. Good.
I just wonder if it's going to make me sick. See how fast it is?
Yeah.
It's like ridiculously fast.
Yeah, it is ridiculously fast.
Moving on, we got a couple rumors to talk about here.
Rumor.
The BioShock sequel is rumored to be a prequel.
Which makes more sense.
Which I can't talk about.
Right. You bastard.
But, yeah,
It does sound interesting because...
It would make a lot of sense after you know what's going on in the game to see a prequel to what happened. The events that led to Rapture.
Sweet.
The next rumor, Jade Empire 2 is coming.
Which I'm looking forward to if it does come out because I love the first one.
I'm looking forward to it too. Now the question is, where does it go?
Right.
I say 360 PS3.
Right.
I say both. I mean, there's going to be a Mass Effect eventually show up.
That wouldn't shock me. It depends. Yeah. I mean,
it'd be a special
edition. Depends on whether Microsoft can land some exclusive publishing agreement with BioWare for the Mass Effect series.
I wonder who owns that IP. I think BioWare owns
the IP. Yeah, BioWare owns the IP.
Yeah.
Jade Empire, it wouldn't shock me to see it show up multi-platform.
Oh, yeah.
Unless Microsoft still has some hands in the... or some fingers in the pie from the first one.
But, hands in the cookie jar?
Right.
In the pie.
But, the first one was amazing. If nobody's played it yet, if you have a 360, I think it's backwards compatible.
It is backwards compatible.
So you should pick it up. It's really, really good. If you like Mass Effect at all, Jade Empire is similar to Mass Effect because it's made by the same company. But it's like a Mass Effect if it was a kung fu movie instead of a sci-fi movie.
It's the Jackie Chan RPG with giant mythical Chinese creatures.
Right. It's very, very good. Tons of side quests. The combat is actually really, really good.
Really well done.
Yeah. It actually, as far as storytelling goes, it's not quite as good as Knights of the Old Republic. But as far as combat goes, the combat's head and shoulders above Knights of the Old Republic.
I think it's their weakest story-driven game, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, just some of the stuff in there is a little cheesy and goofy, but...
Well, but, I mean...
So it's Chinese mythology. Yeah.
So... But it's very, very good. If you haven't played it yet, I definitely recommend it. Definitely. All
right. Another buyout in progress. Take-Two Interactive has bought Illusion Softworks. And once again, you're probably going, who the fuck is Illusion Softworks?
Right.
The company that made Mafia and is making Mafia 2. So, Mafia 2 is owned by Take-Two. Which, as we all know, the Grand Theft Auto Rockstar Take-Two agreement ends pretty soon.
Very soon.
So... Who knows what's going to happen after GTA 4? Is Rockstar just going to be bellowed in money and be able to do their own publishing, or are they going to go somewhere else?
Who knows?
EA.
You know, EA and Activision seem to like snapping stuff up.
Hey, it's going to be dependent on who makes the highest bid.
Yeah.
Next up, and this news just fits well with our podcast, but Kane and Lynch sells a million copies.
You bastards.
Sells a million, thanks to us. Sold a million.
We take sole credit for the fact that game has sold a million copies.
And the reason why I bring this up, it actually makes me sad. As much as I, actually did enjoy the game, it makes me sad that this game can sell a million and Uncharted can't.
Right.
That upsets me. Because Uncharted is head and shoulders 10 times better game.
Yeah.
And it's not selling. And it just shows you that advertising and the fact that 360 owners will buy anything.
Yeah.
I mean, if Uncharted would have came out on the 360, could you imagine the sales of Uncharted?
Yeah, it would have been ridiculous.
I mean, granted that...
You know, though, that now you're going to get 16 million emails. Uncharted can never look as good as it looks on the 360. That's not what we're talking about.
And that's not what we're talking about.
We're talking about purely software attach ratio.
The thing about 360 is 360 owners will buy anything. I'll guarantee you that Kingdom Under Fire, the Crusaders, will sell more than Uncharted.
It might.
I mean, I would almost put money.
And it's ass.
And it's terrible. I will almost put money on it that it will outsell Uncharted. And that's sad to me.
Uncharted, I think, is at, what, 750,000?
Yeah, and that's after, 2 months of holiday sales.
Right.
That's terrible, man.
It is terrible. It's absolutely terrible.
It's such a good game.
It is. And it's sad because PS3 owners are so picky about what they buy. Like, the casual people that own a PS3, they don't even buy games.
Yeah.
They just buy movies and, you know, they buy the huge, huge games.
Right.
Basically, everybody's saying, Metal Gear, FF13, Metal Gear, FF13.
Yeah, and then the PlayStation 3 owners out there that do buy Uncharted, you know, that want to play Uncharted, most of them can't afford a PlayStation 3.
Yeah, well,
that's the big thing.
And I see a lot of people, it really is odd to me. I see a lot of people online who are PlayStation 3 fans who say, yeah, I'm going to rent Uncharted, or yeah, I rented Uncharted, and it's awesome. It's like, you know what, you're not helping anybody other than Blockbuster or Gamefly by renting that game. If you really think it's awesome and you really want it to get a sequel, then you need to buy it.
Well, that'll come in an argument that I think we'll have in a few weeks about length of games. I think it's another thing we'll talk
about
in a few weeks.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the same. You know, Uncharted has a lot more length than a lot of games that sell well.
It's about 10, 15 hours.
Right, but you know, it's that's the thing that's hurting PC gaming right now is that you know, piracy is
killing,
out of control.
Crysis didn't sell shit because it was on every BitTorrent site
right.
The week after it came out.
Right, and you don't have to worry about pirating really with the PS3. But I mean, it's the same basic philosophy. If you're not buying the game, then you're not helping anybody but the place you rent it from.
Oh, and the Kane and Lynch million sell, that pretty much confirms sequel.
Oh, guaranteed.
But here's the thing: IO Interactive, take some of that money, make them Freedom Fighters 2, appease your hardcore.
Yeah.
And a new Hitman,
and
which
a new Hitman.
We know Hitman's coming anyway.
Yeah, Freedom Fighters.
Freedom Fighters 2, bring that, appease your hardcore, make another Kane and Lynch and bank the money off that, make another Hitman and bank the money off that.
Dude.
Freedom Fighters was a very, very good game.
It just didn't sell, unfortunately.
Right.
That game was like a masterpiece,
they should,
man.
It was a great game.
They should put Freedom Fighters online.
They
like,
should.
Xbox Live
it would
or
get
Xbox
a lot,
Originals.
Yeah.
It would get a lot of people to take a look at it again, I think. Like Psychonauts did.
Yeah.
And Crimson Skies. I think it would be a really good game
to
put on there.
It does my heart proud to see so many Psychonauts. So much Psychonauts talk and Psychonauts
what's
avatars
funny,
and everything.
What's funny, this is what separates you from like the hardcores, because the hardcores are like, I was into that game long before you bastards. You don't know the real Psychonauts. I played it back when it first came out, which makes me cooler.
Right. It's sad.
People like that crack me up because I'm like, why can't you just be happy that they're playing the game you love?
I friggin' pre-ordered Psychonauts, and it makes me so happy to see people playing it now. I don't care. I don't care if they're, you know, oh, they're not real Psychonauts fans. They didn't play it when it was released. You know, like, if they played the game
fans.
And they liked it, they're a real Psychonauts fan.
Exactly.
So it's nice for me to see a whole lot of people playing a game that gave me so much enjoyment.
With so few Xbox Originals on there right now, you put something like Freedom Fighters, Beyond Good and Evil, you're talking about a whole resurgence.
Yep.
And you can't tell me that these publishers and developers aren't going to make money off Xbox Originals.
Right.
Everybody knows people, Xbox 360 owners, love to download shit, they love to buy shit.
Yep.
Put these games on there, make a fortune.
There you go.
Alright, moving on. Next up, Metal Gear Solid 4, almost complete. Now, this goes against our debunk rumors that we talked about last week. Ryan Payton has claimed that the game is in bug testing, it's finished, and it won't slip past second quarter.
That's good.
It will be out by summer.
I mean, that's great news.
Yeah.
I'm very happy to hear that.
Oh, but, yeah.
He's claiming no delay.
Right.
So, we'll see.
Very interested.
If it's out by summer, that's fine by me.
Yeah.
I have no complaints about that.
Just
wonder.
Well, with as much stuff as they got landing in the fall, I hope it comes out.
No shit.
Not that it won't overshadow anything else anyway, but.
And no, we're not going to bring up the 360 version. We're not going to talk about it today.
We're not going to even talk about it.
We're just talking about Metal Gear Solid 4 for the PlayStation 3 by summer.
By summer.
Exciting.
That is exciting.
Oh, yeah.
All right, the next developer that wants to make another name for himself and claim that we only need a one-console future, David Jaffe, has stepped up and agreed with Dennis Dyack to say he would like just one-console future.
And let me guess.
Of course he would, because he only develops for one console.
Yeah.
He probably also likes the idea of having government-issued shoes.
What the hell was that?
It's so good. It's such a good analogy. Because when there's only one of something, it's bound to be generic.
Well, I mean, it's bound to be all-encompassing,
right.
All-demanding, and there's no competition. Therefore, you know, they'll build a basically screw the consumer.
Right.
So, yeah. But basically, communism in the video game industry.
I think, I don't look forward to a one console future because there's no competition, which means there's no incentive to make better games.
I kind of like the three console present we've got now.
I do too, just because there's so many different tiers.
It's so diverse.
There's so many different tiers of gaming. You have your family friendly Nintendo Wii that has casual games, and then super like Mario Galaxies and Metroids and Zeldas, and then you have the Xbox 360, which is like the mainstream system with every game on it, the beautiful Xbox Live. Then you got the PS3 that has these amazing titles and just phenomenal graphics and super high-definition stuff.
What I don't want is a 4 or 5 console future.
No.
That would suck.
No, I don't want... Then you're just polluting the gene pool.
I barely like the 3 console. I think that the industry really heats up if it's a two consoles.
Right.
That's when it, like, really heats up. And the thing is, when you look on the internet, it's almost, if you read, like, the forums, like, on N4G, it's like nobody talks about the Wii. It's all PS3 versus 360.
Right.
It's because 90% of Wii owners don't get on the internet and read forums.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's your thing right there. I'd say probably about 40 to 50% of Xbox owners do, and probably about 40 to 50% of PS3 owners probably get online and read.
And if you think about what big news comes out, it's mostly PS3 and 360.
Yeah, because Nintendo is so predictable.
Right.
I mean, yeah, you're going to get your Wii Fits and your crazy little games that come out, but they're not known for, like, oh my God, here's the big bomb zor. Here's your news story for the week. You know, here's not a snippet of information. Nintendo just doesn't tell you shit.
Right.
You know Mario Kart's coming out. Do you know anything about it? Not really.
They won't release anything about it until 3 months before release.
Exactly. Yeah, and they'll tell you all the details and you'll be done.
Yeah, they're so secretive.
They don't care. They're not here to impress anybody. They're just here to put their games out and be done with it.
Yep.
And the Nintendo fanboys don't have anything to argue about right now. So.
Thing is, man, when everybody's arguing over, oh, 360's better, oh, PS3's better, man, when I'm playing Mario Galaxy, all that just goes away, man.
It doesn't matter when you play the games. All that internet bullshit goes away.
Exactly.
All right, next up, and this disappointed a few people, but then I start to stop and wonder why. Microsoft is apparently winding down backwards compatibility updates. They're going to slow it down and pretty much stop doing it.
Right, which people made into this huge deal when in reality the reason they're slowing it down is because there's not much left for them to make backwards compatible.
I think the last list showed 465 titles are backwards compatible now. And the Xbox library doesn't span that much.
No.
I mean, it's not gigantic.
No.
So I can't imagine what else they would need to add. Yes, there's probably one or two games out there that gamers are like, I can't believe you didn't do this
Guilty
game.
Gear.
Chronicles of Riddick.
Right.
You know, and I'm like...
Well, Chronicles of Riddick at least has a reasonable explanation since they're releasing the remake.
That they announced once and we've never heard anything else about again?
Yeah, what happened to that, man?
Who knows?
But I would like to see Guilty Gear.
Guilty Gear would have been nice. I mean, there's no doubt there's games that we would have liked to have seen. But at the same time, are you really going to go back and play these games? Maybe Guilty Gear because it's online, it's a fighting game, and you and I might play it.
Right.
But the general for us...
No, nobody else is going to play it.
If you were looking at it from a business perspective, should we invest, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars and all these man hours for 100 people to play this game?
Right.
Is it really worth it?
Right.
So, granted, we've never been a fan of the Microsoft backwards compatibility.
Right.
But still... I can understand why they're not doing it. I'm not gonna fault them for it. I'm amazed they went this long, and I'm amazed they got as many titles as they did up.
Yeah.
That's impressive. All right. Well, do you want to do the Megaton World exclusive announcement, or do you want to do the Dan Hsu conversation about what he said in his editorial first? Because we're probably going to... Let's do Resistance first. Let's talk about this. And I can't say that we didn't call this in our prediction thread of Resistance 2 coming out this year. And we have some information from... We got to give credit where credit is due. Game Informer has the most amazing world exclusives.
Yes, they do.
Here's what's going on. Resistance 2. There's the cover.
Whoa.
Yes. You need to go to the NeoGAF forums.
You ain't heard nothing yet.
You need to go to the NeoGAF forums if you want to see the cover. And be warned, if you haven't played through the game, there are spoilers in the details. But it's a first-person shooter. There's going to be one campaign focusing on the original character, one campaign focusing on the squad. offering up to 2 to 8 player co-op online.
Yeah.
2 to 8 player co-op?
8 player co-op.
Oh my
God. Which is just sick.
But wait.
There's more.
There's more. Online battles will feature dedicated servers supporting up to 60 people online.
60 player online. Now, personally, I prefer my multiplayer to be between 16 and 32. I think that's my sweet spot, just for my own personal pacing preference.
Which I'm sure you will see plenty of those smaller battles.
Absolutely. But 60 is just mammothly impressive.
So in other words, are these maps going to be
huge,
gargantuous?
Well, if you ever played the original Resistance Online, the maps are gigantic. Like, literally some of them are huge. Almost too big for 16 players.
Right.
I mean, they're huge.
Man.
So these 60-player maps are going to be gigantic, and you know as an experience you just want to get in
and
play a 60-player
match.
Absolutely. Just so you can be like, oh my God, it's like a war.
Right, absolutely. They got to be big, because otherwise, my problem with player counts that are too big is it's usually spawn, die, spawn, die, spawn, die, spawn, die. So hopefully the maps will be well made and big enough that
well spaced out spawn points.
Right.
All
right.
There's also going to be classes, kind of like Call of Duty. You'll have a heavy gunner, special ops, medic, that kind of stuff. So there'll be class-based gameplay, which is very cool because it gives every kind of player what they want.
Right.
Awesome.
That's why Team Fortress is so good online. Mobile phone quality headset voice.
Mobile phone.
Here's hoping that they can deliver on that
voice.
Point.
Yeah.
Not that I don't have the utmost faith in their development quality, because they've already released 2 fantastic games on the platform, but that'd be nice, definitely.
Partial randomized geometry in level spots.
Which means you play through a level a second time, it won't look the same.
Yep.
Holy Toledo.
It'll actually be war battle, like battle worn. So, boss fights in gaming finally done right in first person. That's a quote.
Right.
New vehicles, obviously. You can get new vehicles. And insane stat tracking, much like Halo, where you can go onto the MyResistance.net, see all your stats, community features, clans, all that good stuff.
So, in other words, this game is not only going up against Halo, but they're also going up against Call of Duty 4.
Yeah.
In terms of the overall package.
Absolutely.
Man, I need to pick up the original.
Yeah.
Here's a quote from Game Informer. Resistance 2 will be too epic to dismiss as anything but one of the biggest, boldest, and most high-reaching titles of 2008. It's a game that won't be ignored.
Interesting.
I mean, if they deliver on half of that, it's going to be a completely amazing game. If they deliver on all of it, it's got limitless potential.
It's definitely...
I'm excited.
I am very excited.
I really wasn't jacked up about Resistance 2 until I read this information, and now I'm very
excited. Haven't even seen the screenshots, but from quotes of people who have seen the issue, amazing.
And
I can't wait until I get my issue.
I actually saw the screenshots, scans of the screenshots, and they look good. Very good. Very, very good.
Insomniac.
Especially for so early. But, I mean, the one thing about this is that now Guerrilla's going to have to really step up to the plate with Killzone.
Yeah.
Because now it not only does it have competition, it's got competition on its own system from another exclusive as far as biggest first-person shooter of the year.
It's going to be a pretty exciting year for first-person shooters on the PlayStation 3.
Absolutely.
Yeah, didn't I say that this year will probably be a change in the tide?
You did.
The PlayStation 3 looks to be putting out some amazing titles this year with Metal Gear Solid, Resistance 2, Killzone 2. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's looking good.
It does, and that cover of Game Informer looks sweet.
It does.
Just be careful when you read it if you haven't beat the original and you're worried about spoilers.
Spoilers.
But that's pretty much the giant Megaton announcement.
Awesome.
All right, the last thing we're going to talk about is Dan Shu's editorial, which kind of sparked a lot of controversy in the industry right now. We all knew that advertisers like to pull their advertising because of bad reviews, bad coverage, whatever. Well, now it's gotten a little more personal.
So this is the editorial in the front of the newest issue of EGM.
I don't think I've read this issue.
Basically, what happened was he named names. There were three companies that pulled gaming coverage, which means they will not send EGM review, preview copies of any of their games. They will not send them anything for coverage. They won't give them any kind of exclusives or inside information for these titles. And he named three substantial companies that did this. The first was Sony Sports. Sony Sports has pulled all of their coverage from EGM because of, I guess, their reviews of NBA weren't very friendly.
Right.
Ubisoft has pulled their coverage from EGM because of one review of Assassin's Creed, according to what I've heard around through the grapevine, and that was obviously the 4.5 that was delivered.
Which was way too low, but still.
That's why they have three opinions in
the
magazine.
Exactly.
You know, and this really kind of bothers me.
It bothers
me
as well.
Yeah, it's disturbing. It's very disturbing.
It kind of scares, like, the industry. And you hear a lot of two sides to this. You hear some people going, well, they deserve, because the magazine was being overly, just trying to get attention for the score. And then you hear the other side that it's finally good to see somebody stand up and not take it and be able to voice their own opinion. And the third company they pulled out was Mortal Kombat developers. Mortal Kombat team has pulled all their coverage from EGM as well.
Jeez.
So
yeah, it's. I mean, there's no place for that.
I gotta say that Dan Shu has balls of steel.
Absolutely.
To name names.
Absolutely, because I mean, not only does he alienate himself even more from those developers, but he runs the risk of alienating himself from other developers as well. Strictly by his willingness to name names, but I applaud him for it because it's something that I mean, if people who read gaming magazines and people who purchase video games have a right to hear educated opinions on those video games. Whether or not they're good opinions or bad opinions, they have a right to hear opinions on it. Strong arm tactics have no business.
Well, this comes right on the heels of the Kane and Lynch debacle
that
we heard about, and you gotta wonder, is this a trend that's been going on for a while that we don't know about and finally somebody was willing to stand up and talk about it? Or is this something that's new?
I imagine it's been going on for a while, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
You know the internet's, people have always accused magazines of being biased. Well, maybe this is a sign that they're not really, they just... You're always going to have a variance of opinion.
Right.
And we've talked about this before. Is you have to know which reviewer you trust.
Right.
You know, and you have to go in knowing that. There are certain reviewers that if I see they reviewed a game that I'm interested in, I won't read it.
Right.
Because I know that their opinion is going to be very different from mine.
Yeah.
So it's just... It's scary.
Yeah. It is. And you know who it's scariest for? Not only the regular consumer, but it's scary for big game magazines and big game sites, because people are going to be a lot more trusting of John Q Blogger, who reviews a game that he bought himself, than they are of some big name website that may have received advertising dollars for their glowing review score.
Well, we've heard this about IGN a lot lately with Penny Arcade's accusation of the 7-10 review scale.
Yeah.
Yeah, we saw that. That was pretty recent. And it makes you wonder if a game is even remotely high budget and it's got a lot of advertising behind it, what kind of score are you going to see? And the biggest thing about this is, and consumers are just as much at fault about certain things, is the review's not always about the score.
Right.
The review's about the words in the score, and nobody reads them.
Right. Everybody just looks at the score and moves on.
Yeah, and then they complain about the score without ever reading the review. You read the review, you'll get a lot more out of what the reviewer got out of the game. I'm all for the whole get rid of scores. But yeah. Unfortunately, we can't get rid of scores.
No, because people will panic, riot in the streets.
They will lose their mind if there's no scores. But I think we need to do away with scores. I think you just write an article about the game, and you can generalize how the person felt about the game just by what they say.
Yeah.
Or how about this? The thumbs up or thumbs down? Yeah.
That's a little too...
I'm not a fan of thumbs up or thumbs down.
Yeah, that's a little...
It would solve the problem.
It's a little too vague.
It would help the problem, but... It's very difficult
to give this
convey.
One thumbs up.
It'll be interesting to see what develops over the year. And the way he talked about it is, this isn't the first time that this has happened. And they've refused to bend before. And the companies always come crawling back. Because, obviously, EGM is one of the biggest magazines in the world. And you'd be insane not to want coverage of your games in that magazine. If I was a game developer, that'd be the first place I'd get excited if my game showed up.
Right.
If EGM's talking about it, then... People know about it.
Right.
And that's the thing. Yeah. So.
I think what Dan Hsu has done and what probably some other media personalities are probably going to be doing is I think it's going to – we got to look at the big picture. I mean, we got all these companies. Everybody's making video games. The video game market is humongous. It dwarfs the movie industry market, and it's like 80-90% of the games that come out are crap, if you really think about it. About 80% of the games are either crap or, at best, mediocre.
Average, right.
Average, yeah.
I would be more susceptible to say average or mediocre because I'm such a game enthusiast.
Right.
It's hard for me to call a game crap.
There are very few games to come out that are...
They are there. True. Don't get me wrong.
That's true. but at the same time, you know, if it's in the lower ends of mediocrity, it doesn't really warrant a new price purchase for the consumer.
Right.
But I think that if media stands up to the developers or publishers, it might actually drive quality to go up in gaming.
Right. See, that may be an issue, but I don't think so much because if you look at the history this year of what was reviewed, review scores don't matter.
Yeah.
Some of the worst reviewed games sold some of the most copies this year.
Yeah.
You look at Uncharted, which has like a 90% game rankings average, sells crap. Then you have a game like Wii Play that has like a 60% gaming average and it sells like billions of copies.
Right.
Kane and Lynch has a game rankings average of in the 60s and it sold a million copies.
Right.
So, you know, you can't look at Two Worlds, which has, like, a game rankings average of, like, 50%, sold well over a million. So, the question is, do game reviews even matter to the general public?
Right.
And I don't think they do. But I think, at the same time, pulling coverage for these games, that's more important than the review scores. Because the coverage is what builds people up on the hype.
Yeah.
And that's where the hype comes from, and that's how it gets generated, and that's how the hardcores get the game, and the hardcores sprinkle the word down to the casuals. Casuals just go in and they buy what they see on the shelf. They buy the B-movies and the Spider-Mans and, you know, the Need for Speeds and the Maddens. Whereas the hardcores are the ones that will make BioShock sell millions of copies.
Yeah.
So. Be an interesting year.
Yeah.
To find out what happens with these. But I'm very, very shocked that he named names. I expected him to say it. To say, hey, three companies have pulled coverage. We won't name names. But to actually name them. That was...
Took some cojones.
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
That pretty much wraps up news, though.
Yeah.
I'm sure that we'll revisit that topic soon.
That's a lot of news.
It was a lot of news. Yeah, now we're going to move on because we're running a little deep, so we're going to run right into the next section, which is achievements.
Achievements.
And we're going to talk about, basically, how they've changed the industry, how they're going to shape the industry, and what they, you know, what the effect they've had on gaming has been.
Yeah. I need some achievements.
So let's start off with the obvious question. Do you think that this is going to become a standard, like HD, online?
Yeah. I think so.
Okay.
I agree. I think it already has, to be honest. I mean, granted, the PlayStation 3 doesn't have an overarching achievement system like the 360 has, but, I mean, you've already seen... PS3 games, Uncharted is a great example, incorporate the achievement system.
Metroid Prime.
Right,
Metroid Prime did the achievement system.
Yeah. I think with, you know, Sony's announcement that they're going to be offering more than just achievements, every time I hear that, it reminds me of the Wendy's commercial, the more than just fries. Yeah, but the more than just achievements thing, I think you're going to see eventually that it not only becomes an industry standard, but it becomes even more deep than it is now.
But here's the question is, do you think that both companies will adopt it next generation? Do you think Nintendo and Sony will make it standard across the board, and do you think Microsoft will carry it over?
I think all three companies will have it next gen.
See, yeah. My thing about this is I think of Nintendo's history, and I think they're going to skip it this next generation.
And put it in the generation
because
after.
Because if you look at the history, you know, online started with the Xbox and the PlayStation 2, GameCube. But Dreamcast didn't really count, but, you know. Big consoles, Xbox and PlayStation, started online, GameCube, skipped it. Next generation, Wii adds online, Nintendo, or Microsoft and Sony do HD.
Right.
You figure next generation, Nintendo add HD, Microsoft and Sony will go to achievements, and, you know, Nintendo waits till the generation after that.
I think, achievements now are what Score was in the NES arcade Atari days. What High Score was then. So I think they're pretty much here to stay.
It's the score redefined.
Right. The score redefined? Yeah. But I think in order for it to be effective, it has to be done the way Microsoft has done it, where everybody can see your achievements and they're standard across every game, and they have a system to where every game's only allowed so many points. Because if every game was allowed to put in as many points or as little points as they wanted, you would just have just lopsided.
Right.
But at the same time, you run into the problem of developers getting lazy and making crappy achievements.
Right.
Let's talk Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they actually had a recent study, though, that showed that games with well-implemented achievements actually sell better than games that do not have well implemented achievements.
Oh, I would totally believe that, just because you look at a game like Crackdown, which had fantastic
really
achievements.
Oh, yeah.
And then you look at a game like, you know, the NBA 2K series with the first one, which 90% of the people rented to get the easy 1,000 points and never bought.
Right.
So it's amazing how they've kind of changed. But how do you feel about the online versus offline achievements?
I like them. I think there's a good place for them. It forces the player to play their games in a more diverse manner.
That's what I like about, you know, innovative achievements like the Geometry Wars, survive 60 seconds without firing a shot.
Yeah.
I love stuff like that, and I think that adds to the game.
It does.
But at the same time, I kind of frown on the ranked online achievements, because then you get so many people that you're playing online with that that's the only thing they're doing.
Right.
And they come in the room and all they want to do is like, oh, I need the shotgun so I can get 10 more kills with the shotgun.
Right.
You know. They don't actually just go for it, like, subtly.
Right.
They go straight for it.
Right. Achievements definitely have their dark side. Mostly, like you said, online. But,
And then there's the whole subject of cheating. Mm-hmm. The cheating to get your achievements kind of thing, mm-hmm. which I know I'm guilty of.
Yeah.
And that was back when that's all that mattered to me was achievements. And granted, I got on it like a crack addict, and that's all I wanted was points. And I still love getting them, which I'm happy about, because I was afraid that after I went through all that, just have to get points all the time, that I wouldn't be into them anymore. But I still really enjoy them. Right. And I look at my games and, like, I haven't 1,000-pointed a game in so long.
Yeah.
And that's all I used to do was just try to 1,000-point games.
Right.
And that's when I felt like I was done with them.
Yeah, I don't, if I see that a game is going to be either, or an achievement is going to be either ridiculously time-consuming and not fun for me, like if it's going to be work to get the achievement, then I don't usually try and get it, which is why my gamer score is really not that high for someone that's owned the 360 as long as I have, because I get the achievements that appeal to me, the things that I think I would have fun trying to get. I don't worry myself with the ones that I think are just going to be frustrating or time-consuming to the point of making me not even have fun with the game. It's just work to get the achievement. It's just like it's like grinding for loot in a MMO.
Yeah, that's really what it's like.
Right. It stops being fun after a certain point. You're just doing it. You're just working for the end result. Which, you know, I work enough at my real job. I don't need to be working when I'm playing games too. So
good point.
I think as long as people don't get out of control with them, that they're an incredible, incredible addition.
How about this? How do you think the achievement system can be improved?
I think achievement systems can be improved a lot by user feedback. I think you let testers play the games and you let them tell the people who are making the games, okay, this would be a challenge to do this.
Right.
And let them decide, hey, you know, because I get sick of the standard achievements. I get sick of things like beat level one on hard, beat level two, beat level two on hard. I get tired of those. I like ones that are like, I don't know, like they're cumulative.
I liked the you know what game had really, really good achievements was Dead Rising.
Dead Rising had great achievements.
I liked the walk a certain number of feet on zombies' heads achievement and you know all of that. It had really good achievements.
Or kill like 200 enemies with grenades.
Right. Yeah, I like cumulative achievements like that, like headshots.
Right.
Get so many headshots and you'll get this achievement eventually.
Right.
Yeah.
I like stuff like that because when I get games like that that have those, I'll try for that achievement while I'm playing, but if I don't get it immediately, it's cool. Like when I was playing Uncharted, there's achievements for headshots.
Right.
And it wasn't until the end of the game that I got like my 100th headshot. And, you know, and that's way deep in the game, and I've probably killed 1,000 enemies at that point.
Yeah.
But when it popped up, I was like, oh, cool. Yeah. I got 100 headshots.
Then you asked for what the next step in achievements is. I think that Uncharted sort of has the right idea in that you're not, once you complete an achievement, you're not only rewarded with unlocking the achievement, you're rewarded with points that you can spend towards things that actually affect the game. Mass Effect does the same thing. Once you get the shotgun achievement, the next character you use, you can add shotgun specialization to. Stuff like that, to me, is the next evolution in achievements.
To where the achievements actually affect the game.
Right.
Yeah.
I like that. I mean, some games have done that, like when you do a certain achievement in a certain game, you get a gamer picture on Xbox Live.
Right.
I think that's cool because then you can put that gamer picture up and you say, hey, I got this achievement,
right.
So now I'm the only one that has this gamer picture. And I think that's cool.
Right. Yeah. Amp 3 did that.
Yeah, Amp 3 did that. And I think that would be awesome for the just incentive to get the achievement outside of the points.
I agree. And, I think even the stuff with home that Sony's talking about, the stuff we mentioned earlier, I think, you know, a character-specific T-shirt for your character or, you know, stuff to put in your house, I think even simple stuff like that is a good incentive to earn achievements because, let's say you walk into somebody's house on home and they have, you know, let's assume that God of War 3 is out by now. And you walk into their house and home, and they have a huge, maybe, portrait of Kratos
or a Kratos
killing
statue.
Somebody. Or a Kratos statue.
That'd be awesome.
In their apartment. Or, you know, a Kratos skin for their character. Or, you know, just something. You know, the Blades of Olympus hanging off the back of their belt, their character's belt. Just something like that. You would instantly think, I gotta get that.
And then in order to get that, you have to earn all 1,000 points in God of War 3.
Right.
Kind of like in Halo when you earned all 1,000 points in that, you got the samurai armor.
Right.
Or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's cool.
Right.
I like that kind of stuff, and I think that's where they need to go with it.
Right. And, you know, so I think definitely you're going to see that a lot more, not even before Home comes out, I think you're going to see that a lot more in 360 games for now, where you'll see more games come out that, you know, you get some incentive for getting the achievement. I think Mass Effect was kind of the first big one on 360 to get the ball rolling on stuff like that.
I hope they see it. It's not very publicized that
it does not.
And I think they need to publicize that more, that if you earn this achievement, not only do you get, like, the 25 points or whatever, you also get
a bonus
something else
game.
In the game.
Right. Yeah, how about this? Actually have achievements being actually used as a part of the advertisement.
Well, they've done that. They've done that with, like, you know, advertisers will buy achievements. They've done that. They had like the stride gum achievement in All Pro Football. You had the there's like a Doritos.
But
or,
I think he means like in the press for the game. Advertise specific achievements.
Yeah, like if there's a advertisement in a magazine for Halo, like there might be like a little thing like toward the bottom that says, "Yeah, get this achievement in Halo 3, and you'll get exclusive gamer picture."
Right.
It was cool because like in the press release for Soldier of Fortune that I got, there was actually a little note in it that said, "For an achievement, dismember everybody 45 times or something like that." I was like, "See, now that's cool."
They could do contests with They could do contests and stuff like that as well with achievements where you say they scan because you know Microsoft has the ability to scan all of Xbox Live and see what achievements you have and what you don't have. They should once you unlock a certain achievement, you should be entered into a drawing for something or. You unlock a certain achievement, you get a code that you can input on a website to get content for your computer or, to enter a contest that way. Stuff like that, I think, would add a lot to the achievement system as well.
Well, the new Old Spice Challenge that's being hosted by 360 Voice is really good. Like, you can set up your own tournament, and they have so many prizes that they're giving away, and as long as you get, like, five or so members, and then those five guys go in, and they have an achievement race, and the winner gets the prize.
Right.
And I think they should do more stuff like that.
I agree.
I think that's really cool. Because I know one of the guys on our forums ended up getting, like, a $100 Best Buy gift card. Of course, he just whored out for that bad. He earned like 6,000 points in 30 days.
That's a lot.
Jeez.
I mean, that was like me back in the old days when I used to be really heavy into it. I'm just like, they asked me if I, they told me I wasn't allowed to be in the contest. I'm like, you guys don't realize that I don't play like I used to. I don't sit around and just whore out points, man.
Right.
I play Rock Band or Guitar Hero for hours and never earn an achievement point.
Right.
So it's not like that anymore. I guess I could have went out and rented Air Avatar or whatever.
Yeah.
Get a quick thousand.
Yeah, there you go.
And that's what I tell people. Like, I feel like the old school achievement gamer now. Like, back in my day, I try to tell people, I'm like, don't do the whole achievement whoring because then it just makes you, it almost puts you to the point where you hate them.
Right.
And I didn't want to hate them, so I shut it down. I'm like, you know what? I'm still going to go for them, but I'm not going to sit here and force myself to do crap that I don't enjoy doing. Like, I'm not going to go online and try to get 10,000 kills in Gears of War.
Right.
Yeah, that's just touch much.
Yeah.
Or beat the game on hard without dying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little much for me.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't have time to be. You know, this is a sad confession, but I play games mostly on easy now, just because I don't feel like trying on most games. Sue me, you know?
Yeah.
I have so much stuff that I play on easy just because I don't feel like dying every five steps and having to restart and memorize boss patterns and all that stuff. I like a challenge, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I played Uncharted on easy, and you know what? It was still a challenge on easy. Granted, it may just be because I'm getting old.
Yeah, it might be.
But I like a challenge. You know, I beat Ninja Gaiden, okay? On the Xbox. So ain't nobody going to test my gaming skills right now.
Ain't nobody going to test my gaming skills.
Ain't nobody going to test my gaming skills right now. I beat Ninja Gaiden on the Xbox. But if I have the opportunity, I will play on easy. I don't care. I played Mass Effect on casual. I didn't care. Because I keep hearing people talk about playing on normal and they're dying constantly. That's not fun to me. You know, I understand that it's a challenge and people like challenges, but why would you want to die every 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Just in today's games, you got to wait on it to load for 20 minutes.
Yeah, that is a good point.
I play Mass Effect on normal, but I don't find it to be challenging to the point of frustrating on normal.
And I'm sure it's not. I mean, I'm sure I could beat it on normal. It's not that. It's just, I just play it on easy because I know that, you know, I'll just be able to go through. Now, granted, if I start playing it and, like, I can't die.
Right.
Like, I just stand there and I'm like, okay, I need to bump this up because this is just a little ridiculous.
Right. I agree.
Like, Kane and Lynch on easy was freaking hard. And I was like, and then there's an achievement for beating it on Cody and I go, guess which one I'm never getting? I can play this game off. Fuck that, dude.
Man. Oh yeah,
but yeah, definitely. I think we had this forum topic before, but I think we should get a forum topic up. See, what, like, you pick a game and you make a cool achievement for it. I think that'd be a good topic.
That would be a good topic.
We need to get some more forum integration going on. and get to see what the users think about stuff. Because that forum topic about your announcement was good. It went on for a while.
It did. It did go on for a while.
And next week's show is actually sparked by a forum topic, which what was your favorite game of all time?
Mm-hmm.
And next week's show will be what we're going to list our top 10 games of all time.
Why you got to do that to me?
You got to pick 10. And you know what we're going to do is we're going to shock and awe the entire forum because I'm not going to name an Xbox game maybe at all.
Wow.
Ooh.
I will.
I don't think I... Maybe.
I got one already.
Maybe I might. And what would be even more shocking is there's a PC game in mine. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
There might be a PC game in mine, too.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Actually, there will be a PC game in mine.
Yeah. I'm not divulging any secrets yet.
No.
Yeah. I think I'll tell you the truth. Yeah, there may be a PC game in mine, too.
There may be a game for all the major systems in mine. Except the Saturn. Fuck the Saturn.
Well, Saturn had great 2D Capcom fighters.
Yeah.
With the 4-meg cart and a Japanese import.
Right.
You know?
I'm already going to make a prediction. Probably close to half of my top 10 will be SNES.
I would figure as much from you.
Yeah.
Mr. RPG.
A lot of mine might be SNES, too.
Do you know what would be surprising is some of mine may... Yeah, I think still my favorite system would be the PlayStation 1.
PlayStation 1 had some great games.
And
there's a lot of fantastical titles on there.
Yeah.
I'll at least have two, including the number one... on the PlayStation 1.
Just another thing, and somebody will probably know this because I posted my top three in that post, but one of mine would be arcade.
Nice.
My God.
Well, you know, one of mine could be considered arcade, too.
Yeah.
But I think I'll list it on the Super Nintendo.
See, I actually specify arcade.
Gotcha.
I specify arcade just because of the experience. So,
yeah.
But we'll leave it at that, and I think that'll be a good show next week.
I agree.
But that wraps up the achievement talk. And then, we're trying to structure shows, so if you got ideas for shows, make a forum topic about that.
Seriously, if you guys have ideas for shows, we live and die based on forum participation. So,
which is what we're moving on to now.
Right.
So it's time for it.
Nice seg.
Thank you.
Well
done. Segging. This first question comes from the McGraw Gamer.
McGraw Gamer.
McGraw Gamer. McGraw.
I love that animation with
the
Mario.
The Mushroom Kingdom.
Yeah, that's so great.
This is the Mushroom Kingdom! Blah!
All right, he says, that's okay, awesome. He addresses me directly.
Wow.
He says,
wow.
Okay,
yeah,
ZT.
That's all right, you don't have to talk to the rest of us.
He says, I got a question for you guys.
Okay.
I've been listening to your podcast since it began showcasing, and I never bothered to post here.
Why?
However, your show is very entertaining and probably the only podcast I listen to religiously.
Yeah, this next sentence, by the way, I'm just going to tell you that your next sentence made me so happy inside.
He says, even my wife, who does not play games, listens to the pod just to hear the News Quickies ad.
Yeah, which makes me so proud and happy. Thank you.
Alright, it says, my question is, now that CES is over and Microsoft has stated that BT will be using 360s as set-top boxes in the UK, do you think this would equal a price drop in 2008 for the 360? You know, I have a feeling there's going to be a price drop because of a recent shortage of Xbox. Have you read about this?
Yeah.
All the stores are out of 360s and they're not getting any for a while, which is usually a sign of a new hardware rollout or a price drop.
Right.
One of the two. They're either clearing out inventory for a new hardware rollout or they're clearing inventory for a price drop.
Right.
So
I think there's going to be a price drop. I don't know that it's going to be directly correlated with the whole BT thing. It might be, that might be a huge part of it overseas. At least overseas for us, not overseas for you, obviously.
Well, yeah.
From what I understand, at least the one news post I read, the whole integration with BT is a little disappointing. But as far as quality goes,
yeah.
But I mean, it's definitely possible. It wouldn't shock me.
He says the reason he asked this is because he was hoping this would force Sony to do another price drop, which I predict they'll do another one this year anyway. They'll get a system at $299 this year. Not that I don't think the price is reasonable now, it's just that a lower price will help me justify the purchase to my wife after getting a 360, a Wii, and added memory and new video card for my PC.
Hey, what,
see,
man?
You think gamers are cheap, man. Right. This shit's expensive.
Yeah.
Come on. Hey. I want you to put your wife on the podcast for a second. Okay, I'm assuming she's on now. Seriously, let him get a PlayStation 3. He's going to like it. He's going to have fun with it. He's going to play it a lot.
Listen just to this. Him, the Wombat is just, pleading your case.
Just let him buy one. I mean, hey, I'm the news ad guy. Listen to me. Let him buy one.
Buy
come
a PlayStation 3. It's good for your ass.
Okay, man. you can go ahead and put him back on the podcast now.
He says,
okay,
thanks.
You back on McGraw-Gamer, I'm assuming? Okay, there. That should do it for you. If not, you may have to, you know, tell her you won't have sex with her anymore. If she doesn't let you buy a PS3.
What just happened?
I don't know.
He said, thanks for the show and keep it up. All right, here we go. We're moving on. All right.
That was
this one comes from Odin MW. Says, hi, this
is
to
real Odin?
No, not Odeon. Odin?
No, but is it the real Odin?
It's Odin's Sphere.
Like, is it Thor's dad, Odin?
No.
Oh, okay.
All right, he says, hi, this is to all of you guys. What do you think about reviewing movies or just talking about movies? We talk about them sometimes.
We talk about them sometimes.
Sometimes.
But, I mean, this is news for gamers.
Not news for movies?
Yeah, I mean, no offense, because it's a good question, but I...
Maybe we'll talk more about them when there's some more to talk about, because we got a lot to talk about this year with Indiana Jones, Batman, Cloverfield's coming.
And I don't know nearly as much as I know.
I don't either. I'm not a movie buff.
So,
I'm not.
It's not really my forte.
We'll talk about video game movies.
There
directed
you go.
By Yul Ball.
And they'll be all terrible.
Yeah. They'll be awful.
And P.S., just asking, is Gambus Khan a surfer dude?
Well, there's a little bit of a problem with that. You see, I live in Ohio, and I don't live in California, so it's a little bit tough to go to the ocean every day. And
he surfs
surf.
In the sewage pipes like a Ninja Turtle.
He surfs the net.
I surf the net. I do that quite often. I grab my board, and I'm like, whoa, dude, got some waves coming up, man. Whoa.
Well, you're popular because the next question goes to you, too. But anyway, first off, I want to say Megadranix, that is a pimp-ass PS3.
That is.
That is a pimp-ass PS3. The white ceramic PS3 posted a picture of it on the site with his two controllers and a copy of Folklore, which congrats to you for purchasing a great game. But that system is sweet.
Yeah.
I love white consoles, and I think the 360 looks great, and I think that ceramic PS3 looks great.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful.
That thing looks awesome. Are those DualShock 3s? I need to know. Because it looks...
They look... I mean, I would imagine that they are.
Yeah, DualShock 3 controllers. Look, he's got two of them right there.
Nice.
Yes, very nice, which I'm looking forward to that.
Well done.
I envy you. That's a pretty system.
The only problem I have with... I love the white system. I'm not huge on white controllers just because they show dirt
the,
very
yeah,
easily.
The 360 controller shows dirt really badly.
Right, so you pretty much have to... you have to wash your hands before you play with the controller, otherwise...
Well, it's always good to wash your hands before you play with yourself.
Wow.
It's good to wash your hands all the time, you know?
Well, yeah. But
keep the germs down.
You have to wash your hands like every 5 minutes with the Xbox controller, because otherwise...
Yeah, that's true.
Especially if you're eating Cheetos.
Yeah.
Moving on. Questions for Gambus Khan. He says, I've heard in previous podcasts that Gambus said he was listening to other podcasts. What other podcasts do we listen to?
Traitor.
Ah! Okay.
I don't
my list is short, so I'll go first.
Okay, well,
I listen to One Up Yours and EGM Live, and that's it. I used to listen to Major Nelson, and then I got kind of bored of it. But One Up Yours is my weekly routine. I listen to that every week. EGM Live, I listen to sometimes.
My list is even shorter than yours. I don't listen to anything.
You don't even listen to our show?
Sometimes. I don't really have a lot of time. You know what, motherfucker? I have already listened to our show once. I lived it.
You lived. I don't have time.
I don't have time to sit down.
Now,
Mr. Khan
is a mall walker with his iPod, and he just listens to podcasts all day long.
I listen to all kinds of podcasts.
So why don't you just list like some of your favorites, your highlights, obviously?
Okay, the ones that I listen to on a weekly basis all the time. Of course, One Up Yours, EGM Live, Video Game Outsiders, Hardcore Christian Gamers, which, by the way, is a really good show. They're really funny. I'm serious. They do all
kinds
of... Are
they funnier than us?
Probably.
Probably.
They're not as explicit, of course.
I wouldn't have guessed by the name.
Yeah, they do a lot of, like...
They don't do fake commercials about ass on their show.
They don't do 7-inch penis jokes either, apparently.
Yeah, they do a lot of, like, celebrity impersonations just for the heck of it. And
we're not that talented to do that kind of comedy.
It's pretty funny that they do, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger and... lately, they've been doing a lot of David Beckham, the soccer guy, for some reason.
They must be from the UK.
Actually, they're not. They're from the South, I think. But anyway, that... Speaking of UK, another one that I listen to regularly is the Cranky Gamers UK. And you know something? You'd think by the title Cranky Gamers UK, you'd think you'd get a lot of swearing. But no, they're actually like very polite.
Why would you think it would be swearing? Is it the cranky part or the UK part?
Both. They're cranky and they're UK. I would think they would be cursing up a storm, but
you've got laughs from the peanut gallery on that one.
they're actually pretty polite, but and they're very they bring up a lot of interesting conversations. And let me think, what else? I listen to Orange Lounge Radio, which I guess
wow. Man, what the hell is come up with this stuff?
It's, evidently this podcast Orange Lounge has been going on for I think like 7 years or something like that. So
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, only about a couple months ago did I actually start listening to them. Let me think what else. I've also been listening to a lot of Retro Force Go, which is
hell,
which is Destructoid. Have you heard of Destructoid?
I've heard of Destructoid.
Yeah, it's their retro podcast.
They have more than one podcast.
They got a main podcast for like current, you know, information and gaming, and they also have the retro one. And the thing is, the retro one is actually I think more entertaining than their current gaming one.
I wish I had that much time to play that many games to do that many podcasts.
I wish I had that much time to do that many podcasts, let alone play that many games.
But, yeah, I pretty much listen to about, like, half a dozen podcasts on a regular weekly basis.
My God.
And then I delve into, like, some podcasts every once in a while. Like, I've listened to a podcast called The Fanboys, which is a very interesting podcast because it's about, you know, guys talking about video games, of course. But every episode, they're at a diner. So they're actually in the middle of eating their food while they're talking, and you hear
wow,
plates.
That would drive me up a wall. I'm just going to tell you right now.
The thing is, though, it's interesting because they'll be talking, and you hear like forks and waiters and stuff. And oddly enough, that show actually makes me hungry every time I listen to it. But
I actually may be listening to more podcasts in the coming months. I don't know if I mentioned on the show before that I'm trying to get myself back in shape to run a half marathon in May, and so I've got a lot of treadmill time ahead of me.
Awesome.
So you need to pick up some one-up yours.
Yeah, podcasts make the time go by fast.
One-up yours if you're a gamer. I mean, not to downplay our show, because our show is obviously the best on the web.
Right,
but
absolutely.
One-up yours is a great, great podcast.
Yeah, a one-up yours is really good because they got the inside... Like the inside of the industry.
Yeah, they talk to the bigwig people.
Yeah,
right,
yeah, we don't get that.
Nah.
Yeah,
we should call them.
We don't have a. Yeah, we should. We don't have a big fancy office either.
Shut up. We do. We're gonna move on.
It's fancy enough.
All right. Next question comes from Don't Panic. So don't panic. Why do you think Why do you think the industry has opted out of included multiplayer content most of today's FPSs? I'm guessing he's talking about
offline. Right.
GoldenEye, because he talks about GoldenEye, for example, not only has a great solo, but you could destroy your friends all afternoon without jumping online. I know I'm one of the 7 people in the known world today that not have my PS3 online, but really. And he also says, love the podcast, keep them coming. This is a good question because you don't see very much offline multiplayer anymore.
Yeah.
No, I think it's just because most people have made the jump to online.
And games are so ambitious that you can't really fit 2 players or even 4 players into one of these smaller maps.
Right.
It's too big a space for small confinement.
But it's so much easier, I think, for a lot of people anymore to jump online and play with their friends than it is to try and organize everybody over to their house to play.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny because we're in the generation now where playing with your friends at the same house is like the thing.
Right.
With the Wii and Rock Band and Guitar Hero.
But if you notice that when you get together to play with your friends now, you don't play first-person shooter games.
No, not first-person shooters.
You play Rock Band. You play Wii Sports. You play Madden. I know people who get together to play Madden a lot.
They're weird.
Yeah, I agree. You play Guitar Hero. Stuff like that. So I think that... that sort of style of party gaming, quote-unquote, has moved away from the first-person shooter genre and into other genres. I think that's why you don't see a lot of included offline content.
But then we just heard about from CES the new HD TVs with dual display.
Right.
Did you read about that?
I did.
It's basically being able to play a split-screen game with two independent screens.
Right.
That the game will system will actually split the screen equally into two independent screens.
Sweet.
The games will have to be patched to support this, but this is a new technology that a TV company has created for games specifically.
So one system, two TVs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that'll make things a lot easier.
Yep. Very cool idea.
Yeah.
Very cool idea.
Very innovative.
So if you're going to stick offline, maybe you should look into one of these TVs. Of course, if you're looking into one of these TVs, you probably need to buy broadband.
Right.
Yeah.
You probably need to go ahead and step it up.
Because that TV is going to be expensive.
But that was a good question. Thank you for that.
All right, next question is from Kalupu. We've had questions from
Kalupu. That's a cool name.
I think this is more aimed towards Mr. Khan again. He wants to know about handheld. He's like, I'm thinking about buying a handheld so I can play games while I'm driving. Just kidding. More like taking the bus to far away from my PC and consoles. Games I'm looking forward to, Puzzle Quest, Castlevania, Final Fantasy, I'm guessing that's God of War, Chains of Olympus, that would make sense. Zelda, Phantom Hourglass, and Metal Gear Solid. He has a Wii and a PS3. Should he get a DS or a PSP?
Sounds like you're in a conflict.
Yeah, well, he pretty much answered his own question, though. Because, I mean, you can get, with the exception of Zelda, you can get all of those games on the PSP, can't you? Isn't Puzzle Quest on
the PSP? I believe
PSP?
Puzzle Quest is on the
Puzzle
PSP.
Quest, yeah, Puzzle Quest is on PSP.
So it really comes down to how much do you want to play Zelda.
Right.
But then at the same time, Castlevania...
The original Castlevanias are on the DS.
Right.
Like the Harmony of Dissonance and all those. Yeah, so that's...
And then Final Fantasy series, there's Final Fantasy games on both of them.
Right.
I guess the next big question would be, are you going to do anything else with your
exactly.
handheld?
Yeah, that's where it comes in, because I use my PSP a lot just for, I use it as an MP3 player as well, both as a portable MP3 player and in my car. You know, I have some pictures saved on it, not very many, and, you know, I have some videos on it as well, and I use it as a, if I'm upstairs in my house, I can actually use it as a web browser. So I use it as a lot more than just a game system. So it really comes down to whether you just want a game system or a multimedia device.
Thing is, what I've noticed about the PSP is it is a really, really slick and really nice system, but it's not as travel-friendly as the DS.
Right, that's
Whereas
true.
The DS, you could just fold it up and just throw it in your pocket. With the PSP... You gotta find, you know, like some kind of other device to, or not device, but some other way of storing it,
right.
And then putting that in your pocket. And so it all comes down to as to probably which are you more comfortable with. And the thing is, judging by the type of games you like, seems to me that you might want to get both of them. But if you can only afford one of them, I would say pick which either of the two that you want to play the most, like at the moment, and then just maybe save up for the other one, like at a later time.
I see the DS possibly getting a price drop this year, along with PSP too.
Yeah,
I mean, because the DS is getting old. It's still selling like crazy, though.
There's a rumor that DS is going. They're going to have a new model.
It wouldn't surprise me. It's Nintendo.
And supposedly the rumor is it's going to be a thinner system. They're going to take out the ability to play
Game Boy Advance,
Advance games.
Yeah.
In favor of the ability to put in the SD memory cards that, you know, you could plug into the Nintendo Wii and whatnot. And supposedly this will... get into the whole area of you'll be able to download games into the memory card and play them on the DS.
Right. Similar to what Sony does with the PSP and the PS3.
Yeah, yeah.
Downloading demos and stuff.
Right.
Yeah, and so it'd be a thinner system, the ability to play the SD memory cards, and supposedly the last rumor is that both screens are actually going to be increased in size. So
that'd be good because the DS's screens are relatively small.
Yeah. So I mean, if all those rumors are true, I mean, you might want to wait for
an announcement,
or whatnot. Or it's a really tough decision. Your question is really good, but I mean, if you get, I could tell that you probably can't afford both systems now. So, I'd say probably get a PSP for now.
I would agree.
And then hold off on the advanced DS.
And really, yeah. It comes down to, as well, I mean, really, it says you own a Wii and a PS3. You can probably make the decision based on which of those you play more. If you play the Wii more and you enjoy the games that are on the Wii more, then you're probably going to be better off with a DS. But if you play your PS3 more and you enjoy those type of games more, you're probably going to want a PSP instead.
Yeah, because both of those games have a... connectivity to their
right.
to their console brethren, if you will.
Right.
But yeah, that's a good question.
That is a good question.
All right, next question comes from one of our favorite question askers, Lil Bush.
Says,
Sup guys. All right. Honestly, how shocked were you that Resistance 2 was announced before Gears 2? Because personally, I didn't expect it to be announced this soon at all. And now that Resistance 2 is set for Fall 08, where do you see Killzone 2 coming out?
That is
another good question.
Interesting.
I was actually pretty shocked. I figured Gears would get announced before Resistance.
Yeah.
I really did, but I mean, I'm not like super shocked. Right. Because I knew Resistance was coming. We've been talking about it for months.
Right.
But
I think I'm more shocked about the fact that Resistance 2 seems to be such a huge jump over the first, and that it's coming out this year, just because, you know, this will be, if they nail everything, it's very easy to see that this game's going to be a blockbuster title.
Oh, by far.
And that'll
be
basically the third
Insomniac
huge
game.
I hate the classification AAA, but it applies. The third AAA title on the PlayStation 3 from the same developer.
In three years.
That's
insane.
Yeah, that's...
Man.
Does Insomniac sleep? That's a
I
good
don't
question. Because,
so.
You know, I met Ted Price a long time ago, and he's a very cool guy. But I can't imagine that man sleeps at this point.
Not if they're making that many good games that quick.
And they're not crap.
No.
They're not rehashed every year. I mean, this is three entirely different games in 3 years. I mean, obviously they were working on Resistance 2 while they were working on Ratchet, but God, Ratchet was so good.
Right.
Yeah.
That it's like, how do you keep pumping this out and the other developers can release a game every 2 years and it's not nearly as good?
Right.
How do you do that?
Yeah.
That's insane.
That is insane.
But I expect Gears to be announced within the next couple months.
Yeah.
And it'll be a Fall 08 release. I do see that coming. Now, as far as Killzone 2... I don't know at this point.
Yeah, it's tough to tell. I mean...
Oh, yeah.
Ideally... See, the problem that Killzone 2 runs into now is that the chances of them getting it out for spring are very, very low.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they release it in the summer.
And
they have
good.
Metal Gear to compete with, depending on when they release it in the summer.
I say
because, granted,
that.
it's not the same game, but it's similar enough that the same type of people are going to want to buy it. And they're going to have competition with their on their wallet from Metal Gear.
I think they should do the triple punch like they attempted to do last year with Heavenly Sword, Uncharted, and Ratchet. But unfortunately, Uncharted and Ratchet fell into the same month.
Right.
So they should do the triple punch. They should do Metal Gear in summer. They should do Killzone in October, or August, or September, October. And then they should do, you know,
Killzone Resistance for holiday.
Resistance for, like, November, December.
I agree.
I mean, nail that 1-2-3 punch, and then you have three games that are going to last you a good 6 months that are just going to be phenomenal games.
Right.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then Sony has, like, that nail punch that Microsoft doesn't have right now. And then you take a step up on your competition. Let's be honest, the Wii's not competition for anybody. It just smokes everybody else.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah, the Wii's, like, in a different market almost.
It is, but, you know... We'll see how it pans out.
We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it rolls.
See how it rolls. And last question.
Yeah, that one, he got his question.
He got his question answered. He figured out how to put his avatar up.
Yeah.
So we're good to go. Spider232, glad to see you got your avatar up.
Glad to see you got your avatar up.
Way to go.
Yeah.
And I like
awesome.
I like the IR noob. That's funny.
IR noob. And he winks at you.
That's a little creepy. But the IR noob is funny.
Alrighty.
I can has cheeseburger.
Yeah. All right, so that pretty much wraps up the show. A lot of good questions this week.
Very good questions.
Make sure you keep posting those. Make sure you go vote on the news things because nobody's voted yet. It's a pin topic. It's a pin topic. Go read it. Go vote on it. Go make some new ones. I was reading them the other day. They're pretty good. Get some more forum posts up there. And definitely, if you have a good forum post that you think deserves to be talked about, send me a PM. I do read them all. I may not answer them all because I get so many, but I do read them all. I try to answer them all. So if you think there's a good forum topic that I need to look at, because you got to remember, there's probably about 1,000 topics on there that I don't get to read all of them. So
and if he doesn't answer you, PM me, because nobody sends me anything, so I'm guaranteed to answer it.
Like he answered your email this week?
Oh, yeah, we don't want to talk about that.
But anyway, that pretty much wraps up the show. We'll be back next week with our top 10 games of all time.
All time.
All time.
Do they have to be in order?
Yes.
Oh, God.
I'm going to make you work
just
hard.
Just to punish us even more.
Well, that wraps up the show for this week. So until next week, Mr. I hear you clearing your throat.
Yeah, I'm clearing my throat.
Roll me out. The sun will rise, burning faces in the as it shines oh so bright, you can't deny what we had was something special. And I went on the day when you are finally out of my mind. The day.
Someday you will find that.
blowing your eardrums out of their orifice.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Yeah, Gambus looks like he's still a little loud.
A little bit.
He's maybe
loud.
Like one touch under Mach 6.
Ooh. Hello, how's it going?
You never talk like that. Don't fake it.
Okay. I talk like this.
Yes, you do.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
If you're
going
to check the sound, you got to talk like you would normally be talking on.
Testing. 1, 2, 3. Testing. 1, 2, and
I love standing up
3.
Here because I like overlook the entire place. It's like I feel like a king up here.
A king!